afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Monday, September 25th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Oh, all the talk all day long, all day today was NFL. We'll have to talk about that a little bit, but I don't think we'll spend too much time on it.
I may have to take a knee on that, Melody.
You would, of course.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to take a stand.
Take a stand. I'll take a knee on them.
You know, we'll just get into it a little bit. Let's first get into gold today. Gold had a nice rise today, up $12.20 at $1,310. Silver was up 14 cents at $17.22. Platinum was up $8 at $944. And palladium was down 9 at $915. It was nice to see the rise in gold. At the same time, we saw strength in the dollar, up 0.51 at $92.65. Crude oil had a big day today, 1.49 at $52.15. And the paper markets today, we have some pressure on the Dow, on the paper markets, quarter point. But hey, it's down 53 points at 22,295. The NASDAQ was down 56, less than 1% at 6,370. The S&P was down 5, less than 0.25% at 24.96. 10-year yield, 2.22%, down 0.04, with the euro trading weaker, 118, down 0.65, just the equivalent of the strength of the dollar. That's kind of interesting. And Asian foreign markets, mixed bag, as far as Hong Kong was down the most, about 1.33%, 375 points. Germany was only up a little bit, but you'd think with their election with Chancellor Angela Merkel, she clinched a fourth term in the election yesterday. But what's interesting is the hard right, the AfD, by their entry into the parliament, had the best showing for a nationalist force since World War II. So, you know, the hard right, you know, didn't beat out Merkel, but again, their showing was very strong, and it shows, gave them a run. And this was the Merkel who, after 12 years in power, held a double-digit lead for most of the campaign, scored around 33% of the vote, and that was the worst score since 1949. So again, it shows you that this nationalist party is only 4 years old, and it links right up there with the French National Front and Britain's UK IP. So, and people are beginning to say, hey, you know, start paying attention to what we want. Or they're getting fed up with the New World Order leaders. And again, immigration was the biggest point that that pushed them to the degree that to the success that they've received. So immigration is a very big, important part of a lot of these countries. The leader of that group, and again, it was the immigration. What's interesting is Germany is the, as far as Merkel's voters, where more than half of the 61 million voters in Germany are aged 52 or older. So the world is just getting older, Al, right?
A lot of it is. It's not getting older in the Muslim countries. They're getting younger.
Yeah.
There are some countries in the world where the average age, India's average age is very low.
The white European.
Well, Japan. Not white European per se, but Japan is elderly. Japan. China is elderly, which most people don't know or understand.
Yeah, but they reverse their birth policy.
I understand that, but nevertheless, the fact remains that they tend to be elderly at this point in time. They are more to the old end of the spectrum, as are we in the United States and Europe and the rest of it. And it's not a good thing. Japan, same thing. Japan has been shutting down schools, shutting down grade schools because they don't have enough kids to fill them. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's not news. That's been going on for several years. Yeah. What are they going to do? You know, the future does not bode well if you don't have children. Your nation is not going to do well. And in fact, it can maybe be made to disappear. All right, cease to exist. That's, some people think that the Europe will be 50% or more Muslim in a relatively short period of time because the Europeans aren't having children and the Muslims are moving in. The Europeans, they don't have enough brains or balls to defend their country from invasion by foreign invaders. Yes, Melody?
Oh, Fred.
Well, that's the truth of the matter.
Well, you could say it a little bit nicer. You are the man of words.
Testes. They don't have.
You could just say gross. But anyway.
Well, I was talking about basketballs and footballs and baseballs. You don't have enough athletics over there. That's the problem.
Well, anyway, so it is an issue, but you know, but we see how jobs and everything are decreasing. So it kind of brings populations in line with the decline of the economies worldwide, though, too. You know, the future decline in economies aren't going to grow.
Well, in some places, they kind of have to, or they're going to collapse. I mean, India's in a lot of trouble. They may be in more trouble than China. China is overwhelmed by pollution problems and population density problems and whatever. They are vulnerable to water pollution, air pollution. They're just sitting there waiting for a pandemic, right? And we'll watch and see what happens, but they are in line for that. India, they may be in as much trouble or more than China. You know, I've talked about it before. They have acres and acres of fields along the river where people just cover the field with they defecate all over the field. And they wait for the rain to come in and wash all the excrement into the rivers where they bathe. This is not a hallmark of something that's going to be an advancing civilization. I understand, or an advancing economy. I understand that India is going to become more wealthy. There are people over there that are going to do well, but they have a problem. They've got to mass millions and millions of people who are not easily going to assimilate into a technological environment.
Which really means there will be a population reduction.
One way or another.
There is going to be a cleaning of the population one way or another, and so because you can't have these populations, you will see societies change, and along with it, you'll see governments change, maybe some for the good, but I think mainly for the worse. But again, that is part of the biggest agenda, is to, you know, bring everybody to the same level. And
it's not a high level.
No.
It's a level of desperation where people are constantly living hand to mouth, and if you step out of line, you're going to be hurt. Right? You will not be able to afford to be a dissident, for example, in our brave new world, the new world order. You'll be living where you make enough money to get by, and if you do anything that offends the people in positions of power, you're going to find yourself all of a sudden without any income. And now what? You're not going to have savings, and you're not likely to have any food stocked up. You're going to be starving within a week.
Well, in the past couple of days, there have been some pretty hefty layoff notices coming about. You have General Motors. They furlough the third shift at Tennessee plant. You have Westinghouse. They're going to lay off 1,500, part of a reorganization. You have, I mean, there's a lot of little ones and so forth. Hewlett Packard. HP, they're laying off 5,000 plus. That was announced on the 22nd. So there's some pretty big layoffs that are facing a lot of places. The Ford Motor Ohio assembly plant, their layoffs have been extended. Doesn't sound like a real strong economy to me. You know, and that's just, you know, again, as I mentioned, there's a lot of little you know, little places that are laying off in between, but those are some of the biggest ones that have been released here in the past, about the past week.
And here's another perspective on that from Prophecy News Watch, which the headline is, only 25% of all Americans have $10,000 or more in savings. Most of us have grown accustomed to barely scraping by from month to month, but that is not what the middle class is supposed to be. If you are in the middle class, you should be making more than you are spending and building long-term wealth, which means savings. However, we just have more evidence that the middle class is being systematically eviscerated. According to Go Banking Rates survey that was just released, more than half the country has less than $1,000 in savings. So in the event of a major economic disaster of some kind, over 50% of the nation is going to be completely out of cash almost immediately. According to this survey, only 25% of Americans have $10,000 or more in savings. And the reason I bring this up is because Melody's talking about plants closing, people being laid off. Well, how many of those people have any money that's going to carry them for any length of time? And the odds are not a lot. Right? Zero in terms of savings. They have a list of savings here. In terms of zero saved, 39% have nothing saved. 39% of the American people have nothing saved. Less than $1,000, 18%. $1,000 to $5,000, 12%. $5,000 to $15,000 to $10,000, 6%. $10,000 or more saved, 25%. I mean, we are cruising on the edge of something here. We don't have the resources to get by. We don't have the savings that we're going to need. And what are you going to do? Wait for the government to come save you? The government is technically broke right now. If something happens, we have been misled, misguided in ways it's really difficult to avoid conspiracy theories where you wonder, are the people in Washington just that stupid, or are they doing it to us intentionally? It's hard to believe that they're really that stupid. They might be. It may be both stupidity and intent. But we are cruising. We are, you know, it's one of those things. We're in a ship that is known to be not unsinkable. We may have started out thinking it was unsinkable. It's not. And we don't have any life jackets. And we don't have any lifeboats. And we're in waters filled with icebergs. And the only thing that's going to get any of us through this probably is the good Lord. And I don't know why he's going to waste his time trying to do that. I mean, we've murdered how many children in the form of abortion in this country. I don't know where this is going, but we are certainly vulnerable. And jobs are closing down. People don't have any money. What's the solution going to be?
The sad thing is people are lulled into a false sense of security because, you know, there's so many, and we passed another milestone this weekend, is, you know, there's always these situations and dates that come and go, and people get lulled into this false sense of security that, oh, well, you know what, everybody always says these things are going to happen, and they never do. But when people don't understand it's happening to them every single day, maybe not by the descriptions that are relayed to us by various peoples and those who seem to know the future, but things are happening to us every single day. People are still losing their purchasing power.
Yep.
Against the fiat dollar.
Cooking the frogs.
And so people think, well, you know, until something happens, you know, when the stock market drops a couple thousand points, then I'll get serious. Or, you know, when, you know, maybe if North Korea finally does shoot that missile off over the Pacific, well, you know what, then maybe I should be a little concerned. But no, folks, now is the time that you should be concerned. I mean, and yes, we're older. Those who do protect themselves with gold and silver, it's the older population. It's the ones that understand what's going on. It's those who have the money. You're the ones that have the money, and they're going to take it from you. If you have any money, they want it because they need it. They don't want you to have it. And it's really as simple as that. They can't control you if you have, you know, funds to, you know, fend for yourself. And so truly the only way that you can stand and be protected and protect you and your family is by taking the savings that you have and getting it protected with gold and silver. And, you know, but hey, sun rose today, so we're good for another day. That's how people seem to think. And that's why I never give dates. That's why I don't fall into these guys. Yes, there's events that happen. And at any time with these events, yes, something could more severe happen. But these are future indicators of where we're headed and what's going to happen. Because when I still believe that when we do have the reset, you're not going to know it in advance. You're not going to have somebody say, well, the reset is going to be here on October 20th.
At 2:30 in the afternoon.
Well, I was going to say 3, but
no, I was a little earlier. You're wrong. It's 2:30
to 3, you know.
All right, we'll say 2:45. We'll just compromise and say 2:45.
I'll give you that. That's why I don't do that. That's why I don't, you know, say that I've got, you know, special, you know, people telling me things and so forth. It's just all hype and just as much propaganda on that side, but used differently. So the key thing is knowing what's happening to you today and what their goal is, and that's how you get yourself protected. I don't know if this is a good idea, bad idea. To me, it's a scary idea and a frightening idea. You have Facebook and Amazon. They're creating their own company towns. You know, you have these, you know, they have these modern day in Menlo Park, California. Facebook plans to build a new campus with 1,500 residents. Amazon recently announced that it's going to build a second headquarters that could effectively turn the chosen city into a company town. Same thing what happened to Seattle when the online retail giant went to Seattle in the late 90s. So, you know, they house the hub in Seattle. They house 50,000 employees. So it's, I don't know, it's kind of creepy, Al.
It's kind of creepy on one level. On another level, I don't know what he's going to do about it. It may be they want to get, maybe, is it to provide a place that's good for Amazon, for example, or Facebook? Is it to provide a good place for them, or is it to escape the riffraff? You
no,
know,
it's
you
not
can
to
see.
The riffraff,
well, it might be. What if they anticipate that there's going to be a serious economic problem in this country? Where do they want to be located? Detroit? Huh? Let's move to Detroit. Yeah, that's a good place to move to. I mean, maybe you look ahead, you see the trouble coming, and you do what you can to protect yourself and maybe even your business. Maybe the way you protect it is to surround your business with employees that are all living close at hand. It's not the first time. I mean, they've had company towns
yeah,
in the
did.
Past.
They
you
did.
Know, and it goes back and through history. And
yes, it does.
I don't know. Well, we're going to take a break for a couple of commercials, and we'll be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
I have Silver Eagles today. $19.70. I went online prior to the program to do some shopping, comparison shopping, and at one of the popular online websites, we're a dollar less for 20-plus Silver Eagles. Once it gets up to the 500-plus range, we were a couple cents still lower, but that's significant when you're buying a couple thousand Silver Eagles. So very competitive pricing, $19.70 for 1 ounce Silver Eagles. You can buy 100 or 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Product is not quantity, I should say, is not a problem. 1-800-375-4188. And these are 2017s. These are the current year of the American Silver Eagle. 1 ounce silver dollar. Beautiful coins. Come in tubes of 20. So we appreciate if you stick with 20, but 1 or 100 or 1,000 or 5,000, give us a call. 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to the programs archived on a daily and weekly basis. Thank you very much. I only had one other thing. I talked about it this morning. We don't hear anything from Houston, you know, where we don't hear anything about the hurricane, the one that went through Florida, Irma. You don't hear anything about Harvey, how the cleanup is coming, the problems. But I think they're having significant problems. And this was out by the Associated Press. You have the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, and this is what they announced. This is what they're telling you, so who knows how bad it really is. It says it's recovered 517 containers of unidentified potentially hazard material from highly contaminated toxic waste sites in Texas that had flooded last month during Hurricane Harvey. The agency has not provided details. Who needs the details?
Don't worry. Yeah. Be happy.
Which Superfund sites the material came from, why the contaminants at issue have not been identified, and whether there's a threat to human health. The one-sentence disclosure about the 517 containers was made available Friday. In a one little sentence amongst some other things that they talk about. And I think this is really important because you have a lot of people going down there to help. You have a lot of outsiders from all the states of this country going down there to help people. And they should be given the notice that it is hazardous from possibly some of these containers that are unidentified and are basically keeping it quiet because they need the help down there. But people might think twice going there if they don't know what they are about to encounter. I mean, this is in addition to the normal dangers that you have, the contamination. You probably had a lot of dead animals and so forth in the waters, and I can't even begin to think of all the different types of diseases that could be brewing there. But everybody kind of knows that is logical and can accept that. But when there's other dangers that are being kept from these chemicals and so forth, from these Superfund places, not good. And so that just bothered me.
Do you think there's a lesson here about keeping your Superfund locations, someplace other than near the ocean?
Well, no, you know what? It's just really upsetting because you have so many cancers in this country. And everybody acts like, oh, everybody's, why are so many people having cancer? It must be what they eat. Well, you know what? Maybe so. But just maybe. Maybe it's some of these other Superfund, you know, down where you have all that oil with the refineries and all of these other manufacturing plants. And, you know, we think that there's, you know, regulations. EPA had come out and did regulations, and that's why these companies are going out of business, because they can't comply to the EPA regulations, you know, because of pollution and all this kind of stuff. Well, I guarantee you a lot of the cancers and so forth come exactly from, you know, what is being stored from these, you know, various manufacturing plants and so forth that are here in the state. So, you know, it's just
50 years ago, I worked underground as a miner for a couple of years. And we were driving hard rock. It was a hard rock miner. We were driving tunnel at 10,000-foot altitude in the mountains of Colorado. And they were for water diversion. And it was extraordinary work, and I really enjoyed it. But there was a time when I almost went to work in a mine in Denver that was mining radioactive material. And I was young and dumb and upset, and I some people said they were afraid to go in there because it was radioactive, and I said, oh, the government would never let us work in that mine if it was radioactive. And I came to understand, I did not work in that mine, thank God, but I came to understand, no, the government had no objection to it. You can go in there and get yourself radiated, and maybe a dose of cancer shows up 15, 20 years later, who knows when, if ever. But they don't, you know, you think you're going to be protected, and we are really, they regard us as human resources. It's a term that we find used in business and government, human resources, and we are as expendable as livestock from the government's perspective.
You have all these developers who build homes and sell homes to these innocent people. Folks, it's all about money. And that's why, you know, yeah, it's they buy these homes unknowing that, you know, perhaps this was, you know, once one of these wastelands of the super funds where they store this material, they cover it all up, plant some pretty trees and some pretty grass, build a few homes, and not a few homes, but a lot of homes. And then the next thing you know, you know, your little children end up with some sort of a weird cancer or leukemia or something. It's just not chemtrails, folks. It's just not, I mean, it's coming from everywhere. And it's, you know, so that bothered me. You know, it's, you know, people are going in there to help people because that's what we do. We help people, and they're not being told of the dangers. So
a lot of this, you know, it's one of those things. I'm not sure if anyone exactly knows what the dangers are in every, certainly not in every instance. But the problem, it's not a question of saying, look, if you go in here, you're going to die. But it is, it seems like you should have an obligation to warn people, look, there may be problems here.
Oh, I think they very well know what the dangers are.
Well, in some instances, absolutely, they do. In others, there's no telling what can be happening when you start mixing different chemicals. I mean, we have disposal sites where they are storing, who knows, scores of different chemicals, hundreds of different chemicals. All right. You mentioned 517 containers. I don't know if they mean 55-gallon drums, 5-gallon pails, or do they mean the kinds of containers that we see coming across the ocean on ships? But 517 containers, they're not all the same. What are the reactions going to be when container one breaks and it winds up mixing with the whatever's in container number 218? Anybody know? And the truth is, no, they don't. You know, what do you do about it? It is part of a problem that is inherent in an advanced society. We are moving so fast, we don't know what we're doing, we don't know where we're going, we're just, you know, hanging on and trying to enjoy the ride, but it's hard to say what's really going to happen here and how it's going to affect our water supply, for example. And I'm not talking about just the surface water. I'm talking about chemicals seeping down into groundwater. And that's happening in different parts of the country, and people are coming up with chemicals in the drinking water. They're there when you pump it out of the ground from 1,000 feet down. It's there. What are we going to do about that? What will future generations do about that? Can we survive that? There are questions and liabilities that are associated with a highly technical society that nobody has an answer for. People are just, we're inventing stuff and making money, and some of us are at least. And as long as you know, the money is good, it appears to be good, then people appear to be happy, but maybe we are storing up a lot of trouble for the future that won't be easily addressed.
And you know what? These problems are facing a country that's basically bankrupt.
Yep.
How do you fix these problems when they're... Yes, you can keep printing money, and yeah, they can keep printing money until, you know, until the cows come home. I get that. But the day of reckoning does show up. Reality does strike. And you can't, just like what we've seen in even those dams in Houston.
Houston or Puerto Rico?
Both.
Oh, Houston, okay.
Both.
Yeah.
They were so antiquated. And yet Houston's the fourth largest city of this country, and they don't even bother to take the time to repair what needs to be done. I saw an interview with a woman this weekend. She says, we've been hounding the city of Houston for years. She said, for years to do something. Because we know if one of these events occurred, we were going to have a situation. And, you know, of course, the mayor comes out and says, well, you know, it's all about funding. Yeah, it's all about funding. So they're not going to fix anything until you have a major problem.
Yep.
And then maybe they'll have the funding, or they can go to the federal government for the funding, because they certainly don't want to use state or city funding because, you know, those are just people in houses. You know, they're in a flood zone, so heck, you know, they're going to flood. You know, you'll get a 100-year flood eventually. So same way with Puerto Rico. They couldn't fix those dams because they were out of money. It's a little bit different situation. Houston has no excuse not to do the things they could have done in order to prevent. Maybe they couldn't prevent it at 100%, but maybe they could have prevented it by 50% or 75%, something better than what has happened. And Puerto Rico is a little bit different, you know, but they're just flat out of money, a lot poorer country, but yet they spent money they didn't have, and they yep. couldn't fix the problems that they had. And you're going to see the same thing here. We're going to have another catastrophic event in some other place, whether it be an earthquake, or whether it be another hurricane, whether it be, you know, whatever. And the funds, you know, it'll just remain.
When you say Puerto Rico spent money they didn't have, you mean that Puerto Rico went into debt, right?
Spent money they didn't have.
Yeah, that's right. And that's just another excuse. That's another description of debt. Mm-hmm. It's what our government has been doing to the tune of $20 trillion in the national debt, spending money we didn't have. Right? And now it's sitting there. And what's going to happen? The government is broke, technically broke. The people have just read a report, 39% of them have nothing, and only 25% have over $10,000 saved. That is the reserve. That's the insurance policy. Your savings are your insurance policy in the event of a significant problem. If there's no money left over, where is it going to come from? People can sit back and say, well, they'll just print off more $100 bills down at the Federal Reserve. I don't think it's that simple. I don't think it's that simple. Somebody's got to put this on the books somewhere along the line. It's not just a question of catching a bunch of turkeys and distributing the turkeys to everybody for Thanksgiving. Somebody's got to grow the turkeys in the first place. There's got to be something real. It can't just be more debt, more debt, more debt, more debt, more debt, and we'll get through any kind of a problem that comes. The debt makes you more vulnerable.
And I think when we get into these times, this is one of the reasons. You know, it's just not the election. It's just not Trump. It's just not what he says. You know, you have this deal going on with the NFL. And you know what? Actually, there's too much attention, I think, given to the NFL. You know what? If everybody had kept their tweets to themselves... You know, I'm going to get a lot of mail for this one.
Get a lot of tweets, Melody.
If people would have kept their tweets to themselves, there was only, what, one or two guys kneeling, you know, during the national anthem. Now you have hundreds because of a tweet.
Yep.
I mean, why give them any credibility whatsoever? Why give them any attention whatsoever?
Because it attracts attention.
It's a distraction, people. It's a distraction. And yet now this is spreading. It was disgusting, I will say, for the team. And I don't even know why we're playing football in England anyway. They play soccer over there, not football. Well, I know they call their soccer football, but our football, American football. What are they doing over there playing games anyway?
They know they're losing the American market, and they're looking for another one. I'm exaggerating, probably, but that's part of it. They're trying to open up a new market.
Doesn't anybody remember who we fought?
Oh,
you know, but anyway, that's another program. But anyway, I guess there's four of them scheduled. And for them to kneel during our anthem and to stand during England's anthem, they should be reprimanded somehow, some way.
Well, you know what? You can't do anything to stop people from doing protests. In the final analysis,
they're working.
They want to protest, they get to protest. I don't think you can stop them
from
doing
that. They're working.
But here's what should
be
done.
There should be an ethics code.
If the revenue falls, all right, then your income also falls. You understand? You want to do a protest? Fine, do a protest. But if it cuts sales, then your contract, the contract we have with you to make, right now I was just looking this up a little while ago, the average rookie salary in the NFL is rookie, first year, average, $365,000 a year. Okay? Constantly rises by about $5,000 to $10,000 a year. That means every year the new salary for rookies goes up. $365,000 a year, and people are protesting. They're being oppressed. All right, making $365,000 a year.
The rookies aren't protesting. The ones that are protesting are the ones that are making $30 million a year or $20 million a year.
Let them.
Not $365,000. The rookie doesn't even play.
But there has to be a consequence. If you want to protest, protest. But you can't say, I want to go hold a protest today, Melody, and I won't be here for the radio program, but I still want to get paid. No, if you want to take time off to go do the protest, okay, but it's money out of your pocket. If you're going to make the protest, fine. Money goes down, comes out of your pocket. It's almost the way it has to be. You can't really prevent people from protesting, but you can make them responsible for the protests. We're going to take a break for a couple more commercials, and Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom, and this is Financial Survival, and Melody is still hot about, about Donald Trump.
I think this is just...
We need a governor for... We need to allow Donald only so many tweets a day.
That's not true.
We need
That's
to ration them. You can only have five
you
tweets agreed a day,
with
Donald.
Me, Al. You
I am.
With me.
Yeah, what I'm agreeing with is this. Trump has advocated that people boycott the games. And I don't see a problem with it. You have to allow the protests to go, but that means we got to let the NFL, they want to protest, let them protest. You want to let the president protest? Let him protest. You want to let me protest? Let me protest. Right? We all get to protest.
I agree.
I get that, but we all have to be responsible. And Trump is correct. He's saying if the American people don't like what the NFL players are doing, then the American people can boycott the games.
He didn't say
and I
it
guarantee
that way.
You. Well, he may not have said it, but that's what it has to mean. That's what it has to mean. The public gets to. They can say boycott. They can say protest. It's the same thing.
Oh, and I trust me. I think everybody should boycott these games for a lot of reasons, you know. But I'm just saying, some things just seem to get so out of control over something that, you know. And yes. Oh, gosh, I'm just going to get the mail. I better, you know, maybe I'll just move on to something because I think I'm losing the battle here. But
no, you're not losing the battle, Melody. You're keeping the rest of us. We're making our little mud balls right now. We're kind of packing them in. They're being nice and round and going to get ready to throw a few mud balls.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they should all kick them out of this country and they can go live wherever they want to live. If they don't, you know, if they don't want to respect this country, let them leave. That's all they have to do is leave and go make your millions of dollars. See if you can make those millions and millions of dollars someplace else.
Yeah,
no. You know, so no, I have no, you know, I'm not sticking for these people whatsoever. I'm just saying that it's... And,
well,
the, and
it's
the guy
one of these
who started
things,
it, the person who started it, he's not even working.
I know.
So if everybody would have kept, you know, he was done. He was, who even knows his name anymore?
Copernic or something like
yeah,
that.
Well. But that's my point.
The shadow knows, Melody.
The shadow knows.
The shadow knows.
You know, it's just like all these shooters that we've had for so long. They would stream them 24/7 across the airwave to promote their agenda, and they're doing the same thing now. They're, you know, because the window was open, they're using this to the office's using it to promote their agenda.
Well,
and
you know, that's another
like,
thing everybody's got to think about here. I mean, and when I say everybody, I mean I'm not only talking about the audience, for example. I'm not only talking to the average voter, American, whatever. I'm talking about the people that are taking a knee. You need to understand, are you really taking a knee or are you being manipulated into doing so? To what extent is this a real protest? To what extent is this has this been fanned and blown up into something bigger than what it really is? Are you being used? There's the point. And if you really want to protest, protest. If you're being used by other people to generate certain political, you know, for political objectives that you may not share, then maybe you need to think about this. And nobody's got a good answer on that. I'm just saying, be aware, think about it.
Well, what's next, Al?
I imagine I must have something. Here's something that's interesting to me from Bloomberg. And the headline is, the world can't stop borrowing dollars, right? Now, this is interesting. Companies and governments around the world can't seem to stop borrowing U.S. dollars. And my question here, is it that our debt-based monetary system must create more debt? Is the issue, when we say borrowing, We also mean lending. We mean creating more debt when we're talking about more borrowing. And the world can't seem to, according to this article from Bloomberg, the world can't stop borrowing dollars, meaning U.S. dollars. If the American people and corporations won't borrow and create more debt, then maybe we'll just keep interest rates close enough to zero to encourage foreign people and foreign corporations to borrow more dollars and thereby create more debt. This is an idea I've been exploring and kicking around for maybe 2 months now. My strong suspicion that government needs more debt. More debt is not an option, I think, and I cannot prove, but I think that more debt is an absolute necessity in a debt-based monetary system. I don't think the debt-based monetary system can survive unless we create more debt. And if American companies and the American people aren't borrowing enough to create more debt, maybe it's part of the reason why we're creating circumstances where foreigners are borrowing to create more debt instruments that the government that may be useful in the banks and whatever. Not long ago, it seemed as though the global boom in dollar borrowing had to be reaching its limits. Encouraged by near zero interest rates, non-U.S. borrowers had binged on trillions of new dollar-denominated debt. When they dropped the interest rate and they said, yay, this will make it so much easier for people to borrow, only the banks weren't going to lend to the great unwashed at zero and near zero interest rates because they couldn't make much money off of it, and they didn't trust the great unwashed to repay the debt. They did subprime borrowing and whatever, but it may go to why the banks said, well, let's lend to foreigners. And we can still, where the money's being loaned, but not to Americans so much as to foreigners. And here's what they say. According to the Bank for International Settlements, total dollar borrowing outside the United States reached $10.7 trillion in the first quarter of 2017, up 6% from a year earlier and up 83% from 2009. Now, I'm not sure what that sentence means. When they say total borrowing outside the United States, I think they mean that they are borrowing dollars, $10.7 trillion from the foreign entities are borrowing $10.7 trillion from the United States. It's going from the United States to Africa or South America or Asia or whatever. But foreigners are borrowing money from the United States. That's what the sentence appears to mean. $10.7 trillion for the first quarter. That rate works out to, that work rates out, if they do that all four quarters this year, we're talking about $43 trillion loaned to foreign countries in 2017. The United States gross domestic product is about $19 trillion per year. Thus, thanks to near zero interest rates, which are supposed to stimulate our economy, we'll borrow more because the interest rates are really low. If we're not borrowing, and foreigners are, we appear to be lending over twice the amount of our GDP to foreigners. Annual GDP. Where is this currency coming from? And what are the economic effects of lending $43 trillion to foreign countries? We've talked on this program about the multiplier effect in the past. It's the idea that when you bring new money into a community, if you can persuade the National Firemen's Association to hold their annual convention in Dallas, and each one of the firemen who come down to Dallas spend $3,000, the Dallas economy will actually get a boost of somewhere between $3,000 to $7,000 for each, or excuse me, $20,000, between $9,000 and $20,000 in economic stimulus for every $3,000 that's brought into the Dallas economy. This is a fundamental, this is something recognized by, there's a debate over how large is the multiplier. Is it 3? Is it 7? Is it 9? Is it 5? But at least 3 times. If you have a multiplier effect where you bring new money in, the economy gets stimulated 3 times minimum the amount of the money you've brought in. It has to be that if you take money out, the economy gets destimulated. All right? It has to be slowed by 3 times the amount of money that's removed. And I'm looking at this and I've said $17 trillion for the first quarter and I'm multiplying out and get $43 trillion for the year. I'm not saying it'll actually be $43 trillion, but I want to know, where is this money coming from? Point one. And point two, why are we lending it? This is the currency that, in theory, because thanks to zero interest rates, this is supposed to be stimulating our economy, but we're lending the money to foreign countries, and it's stimulating their economy. Well, I'm looking at this and thinking, there is a problem here. Somebody's got to turn this around and say, look, if we're going to have the stimulus, if the Federal Reserve sits back and says, well, we're going to cut interest rates down to zero or near zero, right? And they think that's going to stimulate the economy. Well, maybe it would if the money stayed in the United States. But insofar as we allow that money to be loaned overseas, they're getting the benefit of zero interest rate loans from this country, and they're getting the benefit of the stimulation. And it shouldn't be a surprise that if the numbers that are reported and or implied by this article, if they're roughly correct, it shouldn't be a surprise that our economy is stagnating. We're sending our money overseas, and according to this, lots of it. I mean, we are sending almost the equivalent when they send 10-7. We're sending in 6 months, in theory, we could be sending the equivalent of the GDP to foreign countries. What would happen if that money was loaned into this country to entrepreneurs, to people that want to start new businesses, for example? We could turn this country around, but this article... You know, again, I can't verify the numbers. All I can say, it comes from Bloomberg. It should be, which is a credible source. And they're saying the foreign world can't stop borrowing dollars. Of course, because we're lending them for next to nothing. Because the Federal Reserve has set the interest rates so low, it's down near zero. And foreign countries say, let's borrow some dollars from the United States. They're practically giving their money away. And how is this going to work out? Who thinks we're going to get all our money back from third world nations or wherever we're lending in this overseas? You can bet that they are, a good percentage of them are going to default. That money will not come back. It's gone. It's not as if we're even going to get the money we loaned back. We're going to probably lose 25, 30, 40% of it before we're done. It'll just disappear into bankruptcy. So my point, I guess, is that we are being misguided. We are being misled. We're being deceived. We have people in positions of power who do things that are either clinically stupid or treasonous. Again, are they doing this to us because they're just so damn dumb they don't know what's going on? Or is this intentional? Are they trying to destroy this country? And you can't look at the evidence. You can't look out the window and say, oh, no, there's no one in position of power who's trying to destroy this country. It's not just an irrational conspiracy theory. I won't say it's God's truth, but I will say that there's enough evidence around where you can sit back and see it, and it's hard to say, no, it's absolutely not true. Completely false. Not possible that anyone's trying to destroy this country. You look at it. We've had decades of it. And I don't know when it's going to end until this country perhaps is collapsed, maybe destroyed, and then starts rebuilding, if it can. But we are in danger, and it goes to things as seemingly unobtrusive, innocuous, as zero interest rates. Great. What are creditors going to do if they can only get near zero in this country? People have got money; they'll lend it overseas, where they might be able to get 5 or 10%, or maybe more than that. There is a point here that economics is not a magic wand. Now, we've said it a bunch of times, but it's like squeezing a balloon. You want to squeeze it at this end of the balloon? Fine, it's going to bulge at the other end. You want to squeeze it in the middle, it'll bulge at the two ends. You want to squeeze it at the two ends, it's going to bulge in the middle. This is a zero-sum equation, and there are people in positions of power who claim that they can manage and manipulate the economy, but really all they can do is postpone reality. They can do things today that seem like, yay, we're getting some free lunch, Federal Reserve is buying. But the cost of the free lunch is being passed on to a future generation. And it's really all they can do, in my opinion, when they manage the economy. They can just make sure that instead of paying our debts today, the debts are postponed for 20, 40, 60 years. But sooner or later, the debts are going to come due. All right? And they can't. How are they going to get out of this? There is a reality that's here, and I don't think they can manipulate only in the sense of postponing reality, but reality is going to attack sooner or later. And when it does, we're all going to pay a serious price. And it appears that we're getting very close to what may be, you know, a day of judgment, a day of accountability. It's like, hey, where's the money? Who's got any? And it'll be a day if what I'm saying is roughly correct, the people who will be best equipped to survive this kind of judgment, this day of accounting, they're going to be the ones who have some money that they've saved up. And if they're saved it, if they've saved it in the form of paper debt instruments, more likely they're going to see their wealth diminished or destroyed. If you come in, if you want real savings that stand the test of time, you're talking about gold or silver. And if you really want to protect yourself against what might be coming, we don't know what's going to happen for sure, but you can look at some of these things, just dumb thing. It's like Melody says, everything that's happening to us already, it's not like we're waiting for the catastrophe. We're already in it, but they're cooking frogs. They're just giving it to us a little at a time where we don't pick up on what's happening. You need to protect yourself, folks. I'm Alfred Addis. I want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in then. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.